Never quite like that before. Now, the thing is, there's one thing when Jonathan was sort of saying, you know, come and share at the front. Well, there are different reactions that happen when you're asked to do that. The first one is this. Some of you go like this. You keep looking at your fingers like that. And then I was watching you. And then some will get a book. They never looked at a book in church in their life, but they get one. And they're looking in the book like this, and they're going through things like this. And then others sort of just pretend they're not there, as if they're not actually sitting there. They're just not there really. It's not them. It's just someone else is there. And then somebody sort of looks sideways and not to the front and so on. Because that always happens like that, everywhere. That's why I know about it, because I do it myself. But having said that, testimony is just so important. It is just so important. It was seen to me that God wants his word to come to us. That's God's primary concern, is his word would come to us. Well, how does his word come to us? I want to suggest just off the top of my head these ways. One, it comes to us as read. It's just been read to us. Catherine's read the word of God to us, so the word of God has come to us. I'm going to seek to teach the word of God in a minute, so the word of God will come like that. The word of God can be preached to us. And when the word of God is preached, it's like Jesus is spoken about when a person is preaching, and then there's an invitation to receive Jesus into your heart. So the word of God comes like that. The word of God comes through a prophetic utterance. That is like the Lord gives you a word, or he whispers something to you, he puts it in your heart. It's something maybe you bring with you into this meeting. But it's prophetic, it's come to you by revelation. So it's another way the word of God comes. And then the word of God comes through testimony. And I often think testimony is the word becoming flesh. Because in that sense, Jesus was a testimony, wasn't he? What is God like? Jesus said, look at me. I'm the word become flesh. You see? It's so powerful. And I've often looked back at our own place. We're in central London, a church, and it's a similar church to this. But the things that that have helped me so much over the last years we've been there, it's just people getting up and saying things. And they say, and you have a double take on that, because one, they just share what Jesus done in their life and the change it's done. And often when I've heard that, I thought, well, if he can do it for him, he can do it for me. So I'll get myself prayed for at the end. I thought, well, you know, doesn't have favorites. So if he can do it for him, he can do it for me, can't he? You see? So in a way, it's the word becomes flesh, and therefore it's a powerful way that Jesus has of communicating. Now, I wasn't going to say that, but I've said it. Now, but maybe I've said it because it's important to say it. Now, the other thing I want to say is, any of you here this morning? Any here this morning? Oh, that's so good. Well, not many of you came back, but anyway, that's... 3 of you came back. Well, that was such a thing. Well, let's just try out on that. Does anybody who came this morning remember having had lunch and whatever you did? Remember what I spoke about this morning? Anybody? Yes. Restoration and transformation. And what was I saying? What was the points I was making about that?
90 different types of locusts.
It's what? 90 different types of locusts. Yes, thank you for that. I knew he'd remember that. I knew someone would remember that, because that's completely got nothing to do with it. It was it was just a throwaway line I made, but I knew sort of like open up. That's what would come back. But anyway, we won't go there down that way. But anything else that you can remember about this morning? I spoke about this is like a season of restoration, that God is restoring us, and he's seeking to restore us and transform us, and he's equally doing it for us in our own lives. That's what he wants to do. He wants to do it with us together, and then he wants to do it through us into the community. I just know that. I just believe it. I believe it's like a season. It's a season of the Spirit. And I was sort of saying it, the important thing is for us to know what season it is, what season we're in. I mean, it's no use coming over here with my you know, my winter zip jacket and, you know, all the winter clothes coming here, it would be inappropriate. I'd be boiling all the time, wouldn't I? It's not the season for it, is it? It's a season just for shorts and tops, isn't it? Is it? Why? Because it's summertime. So you don't wear big duffel coats and scarves and hats and gloves in summertime, do you? Do you? Do you? Don't know what you do over here, but I don't think you do you? You don't, do you? You don't, because it's not the season for it. It's important that we know what the season is. And when it's sort of like summertime, you dress for summertime and wintertime and so on. We need to know what the season is. And the same is like in the natural season. We need to know what the season is. It's no use me going in the middle of winter, going down to the orchard to pick some apples, is it? There wouldn't be a lot there, would there? Would there? No, there wouldn't. Now, believe me, there wouldn't. You see, there wouldn't be there, you see, because it's a season. It's no use going, in the springtime to harvest the wheat. Well, it wouldn't be there to harvest, would it? It would be in the summertime because that's the season. And therefore, it is so important that you and I know the season that we're in. What is the season of the Spirit that we are in now? And I'm just saying to you that in my observation, not my observation, but I would say a lot of prophetic people's observation is this, that we're in a season of restoration and of transformation. That's what the Lord is doing by His Spirit. And we're just seeing that Sunday by Sunday in our place. We're just seeing it. And I'm not just saying we're seeing it there, but it's happening in many churches in London. So I want to look with you now on this. I want to ask the question, what does this restoration look like? What does it look like? Okay, Barry, you're saying God is restoring His church and God is transforming His... What does it look like? You know, that's what I want to address with you now. What does this look like? Well, we have, we're having it tomorrow night again. We have it twice a month in our church. It's Power Up. We call it Power Up Monday. And we come together, to pray. And the other Power Up Monday, we were talking about God restoring. And people were giving testimonies of how God had been restoring their lives. And one girl, she said, this is what restoration means to me. And I just wrote it down as she said it. She says, God is calling out the dead parts of my life. God is calling out the dead parts of my life. I want to look at Psalm 103 with you. If you've got a Bible, you may want to go through it, because I'm going to look at basically the first five verses. Because here he's dealing much more fully with this subject. Now David starts off in verse 1. He is addressing his inner self. He's addressing his heart and his soul. And I've just got to stop here for a minute, because I just need to establish this, you know, with you again, remind you again. Now, so often in contemporary thinking and in much contemporary teaching and so on, it is said that man, the center of man is his brain. You see, that's the contemporary cultural thought. Man, the center of man's is his brain. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says that the center of man is his heart. His heart. Now, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart. This is what it means. It means within your heart, with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. But as you look into that, it's all to do with the heart. Where does Jesus come when you receive Him? Into your heart. Where does the Holy Spirit come? Into your heart. The love of God has been poured into your... Where does Christ dwell? Where does Christ dwell? In your heart. Christ dwelling in your heart by faith. The Spirit comes into your heart by faith. You are born again, your heart, you're born again of the Spirit in your heart. So this is where it all happens. It all happens in our hearts. Now, this is when I sense this. Like, tonight, later on, I hope you won't do this now while I'm speaking, but you will go to bed and sleep. Now, I have had people sleeping when I've been speaking, but it's very, very embarrassing because I've had to draw attention to it. But anyway, so I got my eyes going right around this room. Even those in the corner and behind the pole, I know you're there. So don't think you're not being seen by me. But the thing is, you see, we go to sleep, don't we? And then obviously we wake up. What wakes us up? The alarm clock could wake us up. A movement in the room could wake us up. It may be just that that's the time we wake up. But we just wake up, don't we? And we begin, and then as we wake up, our whole body and everything comes alive. But with sleep, it all just goes to sleep, as we know. But it seems to me that our heart's like that, that each morning our heart needs to wake up. Yeah. We've got to wake it up. And that's what David does in the Psalms. And that's why he addresses his heart. And that's what he's doing to start with. Look, what is he saying here? He's saying, my soul, my soul or my heart, give thanks to the Lord. That's what he's saying. And that's so often how we awaken our hearts in the morning, by simply beginning to praise the Lord. Or if you've got the gift of speaking in other languages, often that's a way of waking your heart. But you awake your heart in the morning. We wake our heart. You know, David says a lot of times, awake my soul, awake, O my soul. And his soul's gone to sleep. He's saying, awake it. And then once we begin to worship and begin to praise the Lord, then our heart becomes alive again, doesn't it? And therefore, we then... But I know, as well as you do, if we don't do that, it could sleep all day. It won't be in that relationship with the Lord, because it's asleep. That's my observation, and that's my personal experience. Anyway, it needs... I just find every morning it's got to be woken up, because it's gone to sleep. Anyway... He's saying here, awake my soul. My soul gives thanks to the Lord. All my being, bless his holy name. My soul gives thanks to the Lord, and forget not all his blessing or all his kindnesses. And then he names six ways in which God has shown him kindness. Now don't panic. I don't like it when people say, I've got 6 points, and they have 25 minutes on the first one. It makes me nervous. I usually slip out then. Quietly. That's true, actually. But anyway, so I'm watching you as well, those who attempted to slip out. I won't be going 20 minutes on each one. We're going to fly through these. Now, the first one is this. This is the way in which God has shown him kindness. One, and that is in verse 3. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget all his benefits, who forgives all your sins. That's my first point. The first way that the Lord shows his kindness to us is through he forgives all our guilt. That's the first way. Now, we've had quite a testimony here today about forgiveness. And as those two men were sharing that, I thought this is very important, what the scripture says here. And I just want to just say what I've written. True guilt is experienced when our attitudes, thoughts, words, and actions are against the revealed ways of God. That's true guilt. And we know it's true guilt. True guilt's a bit like a smoke alarm. It goes off and it warns us. My wife, Mary, is a fantastic cook, just amazing cook. That's why I'm such in good order. But she is a great cook. But one of the things is that there are two things that we've been married over 40 years, and there are two things that which are interesting in our marriage. One is cooking pots, and I've bought enough of those actually to actually have cooking pots for most people living in London, because they seem to get burnt. And we've even bought those ones that don't burn. They're so expensive, but they did burn. And the other thing is the smoke alarm going off in the hall, which is a very, probably once or twice a week. And the thing is, it makes a terrible noise, this smoke alarm. And then Mary goes flying out. She's got a way of stopping it. What she does, she gets a towel, and then she steps on it, and then she hits this thing. She keeps whacking this thing. Goodness only knows why it doesn't stop. And then she keeps whacking and whacking and whacking it. Then eventually it stops, you see. And the noise quiets down, you see. No, it's all right. This is part of it, you see. But anyway, You see, it's this whole thing. True guilt, it's like the smoke alarm. It goes off and we know that something's wrong. And that's what our conscience does. It shows us that we're out of step with God and we feel guilty. But, and again, a testimony that came straight behind that, like tonight, one of the chaps was saying that because of Jesus' death on the cross, God is able and willing to forgive us if we turn to him. So God's forgiveness is all-inclusive and without limit. That's one of his kindnesses to us. He forgives all our faults. He puts it in verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so does far does he remove our sins. God not only forgives, but he forgets. And whatever caused the guilt is no longer on his mind. Now you've got to get hold of this. Whatever caused the guilt is no longer on God's mind, because he restores us. He restores us from feeling guilty. He restores us from that. And he no longer remembers that. Now, in our church, we have a chap called Alec Tomlins. He's a master, or he's Mr. Technical. And he's just, we have him full time because he looks after all the computers and all the things on Sunday. And he got a team like you have here to do all that sort of stuff. But he's an absolute wizard in that whole area of IT and so on, you see. But I've got a laptop, obviously, and I do talks in it. I do lots of things in it. But every now and again, I press the wrong button. I lose it. Do you ever lose it? You lose what you've been doing. You spend all this time on it, and you lose it. Have you done that? Well, I do. I don't. But I always ring him up, and I say, Alex, it's awful what's happened. It's terrible what's happened. He said, what's happened? I said, I've lost the talk. It's completely gone. And so anyway, but he's got a way to know whether it has completely gone or not. And at times, he has been able to retrieve them, but mostly he says, Barry, it's gone. It's completely gone. I say, Alex, I spent 4 hours on this. He said, I can't worry about how long you spent on it, Barry, it's gone. I said, you get it back from somehow. No, I can't get it back. I said, well, it can't go nowhere. It's got to go somewhere. Everything goes somewhere. It must be somewhere. He said, no, it's gone. I said, well, how can it be gone? He said, it's gone. So anyway, we have this thing each time we die, I do it each week. So it's gone. So when he says it's gone, it's gone. It's completely gone. But that's where your guilt is. It's gone. You see, you can't get it back again. There's no way you can get it back. It's gone. Completely gone. See, that's the kindness. It's the kindness of God. It is the kindness of God. So a person being restored is full of thanksgiving because they're not being assailed by feelings of guilt and they walk humbly and confidently with God. Secondly, God shows his kindness because he heals all your ills. Look at that there. Who forgives all your sins, the first three, and heals all your diseases. Now, one of the first names or ways in which the Lord revealed himself to the people that he was to ancient Israel was as the healer. And he said simply, I am the Lord your healer. He hasn't changed his mind. I am the Lord your healer. He is a healer. And there are biblical instances where sin is the cause of the sickness. And we find that with this chap that was lowered down through the roof. And he'd been paralyzed, and he was brought by four friends. You know the story well. And Jesus says to him, my son, your sins are forgiven. Because he saw whatever he'd been up to, that had caused the physical disability that he had. Now, I'm not paralleling all sickness with that, but I am set with my point being that there are occasions when because we've stepped outside the God's boundaries, that we can be physically ill or sick through that. And therefore, confession can have an important part to play in the process of healing. And we find that with James when he's writing there about the healing within the church. And he writes this in his book. It's James chapter 5 and verse 3. If anyone gets it before me, tell me. I got it. This is what James says. He says, if any one of you is in trouble, he should pray. If anyone is happy, let him sing songs of praise. This is chapter 5 and 13 of his book. If any one of you sick, he should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up, and if he has sinned, he'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful in its effect. So confession can play an important part in this whole healing process. And Peter, he looks back to the death of Jesus as being the source of God's healing power, because he says, by his wounds you have been healed. And therefore, the healing is a gift of the Spirit. But when you look that up and consider that, it's not a gift. There are gifts of this. There are gifts of healing. There are gifts that heal people from demonic oppression and torment. The gifts that heal past traumas, inner traumas. Gifts that heal the brokenhearted. Gifts that heal the physical condition. Just a wee while ago, I was saying this morning the word recently. Mary says to me, darling, don't use that because it's not. It can mean 30 years ago, recently. But it's not. What I'm referring to is not. It's just this year. But I was in Holland, and I was speaking at a conference there in Holland. And I went to see a friend of mine. His name is Case. And I just want to tell you about Case because... His is a wonderful story about God restoring and transforming. Now, many years ago, Case was a pastry cook, and he immigrated to America, and he lived with a family of four in New York City, where he established a successful pastry shop. Sadly, his marriage broke up, and his wife left him and returned with the family to Holland. And Case stayed, and he created a new life for himself in that city. And one morning, he, living by himself for a period of time, he goes down for breakfast. And when he comes down into the kitchen, he sees just standing in the kitchen an angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord says to him, go back to Holland. And he was just completely, overcome by the whole thing. And he goes back. He sells up the business and he goes back to Holland. And when he gets back to Holland, he finds that his wife has become a Christian. And she then introduces him to a number of men in the church. And over a period of time, although he had that extraordinary experience, it was over a period of time that he came to know the Lord. He came to know Jesus. And then subsequent to that, he started a church in Ada, which is a town, a city in central Holland. And I've known him for about 20 years. And he started this church, and it's now one of the largest churches in Holland. We met, as I said, about 20 years ago. But recently, and that's why I was in that church, Case wasn't there, he's not there anymore, but recently he's been diagnosed as having cancer in his bowels, his stomach, his lungs, and he was sent home by the doctor to die. And another friend of ours there called Bart Dornweed, he's a well-known leader there, he went round to pray for him. And as Bart prayed for Case, Case was lying on the bed, and he just laid his hands on him. And as he prayed, the bed shook uncontrollably for an hour and a half. And at the end of that time, Case was pronounced subsequently through x-rays completely healed. Completely healed. See, the kindness of God is shown. That's what he says here. The kindness of God is shown. He heals your diseases. He heals your disease. That's a restoration. And that's an amazing thing because Case was restored to God through Jesus. Case was restored to his wife and family through Jesus. And Case was restored to health through Jesus. Jesus is the restorer. God shows his kindness in verse 4. He redeems your life from the grave. He redeems your life from the grave. Now, what does redeem mean? Well, to redeem means to free. It means to free through the payment of a price. And we are freed because Jesus paid the price, as was witnessed here. It was through with the precious blood of Christ, we are free. We are freed from death. It says here, who redeems your life from the pit. And the pit meaning, amongst other things, death. That he redeems us from the power of death. Now that's an amazing thing. Do you know, the amazing thing is this, that no one here is going to die. I think it's amazing, isn't it? I think it's rather good. Because I don't want to die. Why? Because we have Jesus in our hearts. And we have God's life within us. And what death is just moving, stepping out of this and just moving on into his presence. That's what death's about. Because we all got eternal life. Everybody here's got eternal life if you believe in Jesus. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You got it, haven't you? You got it. You've all got it. We've all got it. But you've all got it through Jesus. That's how you got it. So, that's why there's no fear of death. We don't have a fear of death. Because he has redeemed us. He has paid a price that's freed us from death. But equally, he comes, Jesus comes, and frees us when we travel in the dark valleys of life. And in the dark valleys of life, he's there to be with us and to save us and to help us. I'd like just to read from Isaiah the prophet, and it's Isaiah 43, and this is very significant in my own life. It's Isaiah 43. I'd like just to read. Now, the thing is, I just got to tell you, I'm a great timekeeper, so don't worry, we're stopping on time. I told them this morning, they didn't believe me, but I was right on the time, wasn't I? Wasn't I? Just right on time. I'm right on time tonight. So don't worry, I've only done 3 points, but I don't have to do all the points. I'm just going to bring it in. We have some ministry soon. So I'm just working towards another 5 minutes. So that's where we're going. So don't worry. You won't have to sort of be sit this out much longer. But anyway, I want to just read this to you because this is very, very... Well, I want to first of all, give you the background to this. This is my testimony. We had testimony, didn't we? And this is my testimony. In 1997, Mary and I were in New Zealand, and we'd gone out together, and my mother was alive then. We'd gone to see her, and we'd gone surfing on this beach. At least I'd gone surfing down at Hematangi, and it was a really... There were lots of storms. It had come through New Zealand at the time, and the waves were running big. The big waves were running, and Mary was sunbathing, and I went out to surfing, and I had some really, really good runs. And then I thought to myself, one more and no more, one more and no more. So I went out and I got out there, and I got this wave, a big one, and it's probably like halfway up that, I suppose, and I got it. But as I came down, it was like there were two freak waves, and they came like that. And it was, I can only describe, it was like an orange pip. I just went straight up in the wave, and then I came down. And I came, it was like in a washing machine. And I was just tossed, and I was turned and tossed and turned like this, like in the machine. And then before I went unconscious, the last thing I remember saying was, "Jesus, help me." And then I just went unconscious. And then I came to, and these waves had washed me up on the beach. And I came to with 4 broken bones in my neck. And just incredible pain and loss of feeling and everything. So I'm just lying there in the water and just wondering how, you know, what was going to happen after that. And we were talking about the Word of God comes in different ways. And this is how the Word of God came to me. I can only say it was as if you were with me and you read it to me. It was like that. It was being read to me. I was just lying there. And this is what was read to me. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. And I remember lying there, those words just spoken to me, like a person spoke them to me. And I'm just lying there and I'm thinking, this is going to be all right. I got no idea how this is going to be all right, but this is going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And the other thing was, I won't go into the whole thing because it's a long story, but eventually I was in the hospital and I was there for 3 months on my back, and it was a long, long journey. And they had to do some awful things to me, like, I won't even go into that. But the amazing thing was that word, when you go through the fire, it won't burn you. And I had to have lots of different things they did to me, in the whole process of putting it together again. But each time they came to do it, that word came, when you go through the fire, it won't burn you. And I used to say, Lord, this is not going to hurt me. It's all right. And although it was all right, it was right, because he redeemed me. You know, he paid a price to set me free. And he just brought me right through that, because that's what he said. That's the kindness of God, you see. That's amazing kindness of God. And as I left that hospital, I remember the consultant who was over us, he said to me, you're the only person that's broken the bones in his neck that you've broken has ever walked out of this hospital, ever. And he had been a surgeon there for about 40 years. He said, nobody ever walks out. We wheel them out, but you never walk out, you see. But that's just the Lord. That's how the Lord does. It's his kindness. And that's what he said. That's the restoring kindness, the restoring power of the Lord. He comes to us in that way. And I just want to, I think I've got an, I'm going to stopping. How about that then? Full of surprises. He's full of surprises. He's just stopped. There you go. I said I'd stop on time, didn't I? Didn't I say that? Well, there you go, you see. I'm right on time. Oh, you're so kind. And let's stand together. We're just going to ask the Lord to... Now, the Word of God has come to us. The Word of God's come to us. Catherine read it to us. Our brothers here, they testified to it. They testified to the power of forgiveness and being restored. How they testified to the power of the death of Jesus. And I've testified to it. It's the power to restore. And that's on the Lord's heart for you. He just wants to, whatever area that you maybe you're struggling with in your life, he wants to restore you. He wants to restore you. And then once he begins to do that, then he wants to transform you. He wants to transform you. And it's like Jesus with us, and he just says to her, what would you like me to do for you? Now just bring it with words. We're having a time. Just bring it with words. Whatever it is, just ask the Lord to restore you from it. If you need, as was testified earlier, if you need to forgive anybody, forgive them. Now I've come to see that the power of this restoration is found in the cross. And so as you bring with words to Jesus the things that you want help from, when you come in a moment for prayer, what we're going to do is we're going to put the cross of Jesus with all its power between you and whatever it is that you've brought tonight. And we're just going to break its power over you. And then we're just going to ask the Lord just to heal. And that restoration is a process. It's a beginning of a process. But he brings us right into that place of freedom. And the reason he's doing it is in order that we can restore other people. Could just the ministry team come out now, please? Those who've been authorized and trained to minister to others' prayer, just come be at the front. And then those who'd like prayer, just to come. And we'll pray in those ways.
So could I ask those who've been trained to minister at CORE who are available to pray, who are not receiving, to come forward just to help us to pray with people. It would be great. Thank you.